called Year A Sunday means, which looks at the Gospel of Matthew. That's what's important, is that we're looking at the Gospel of Matthew. And this cycle runs from the first Sunday of Advent in 2019 all the way through to Christ the King Solemnity that is celebrated on the 22nd of November of this year. So as you can see, we're going to be spending a whole lot of time digging into the riches of the Gospel of Matthew. And to provide you with sort of a quick frame of reference, a one-minute frame of reference, let me offer you a survey of the Gospel of Matthew. It sort of gives you a perspective or framework before we dive into this evening's reading. First of all, the author is Matthew. Now, I'm going easy on you tonight because I was going to ask you who was the author of the Gospel of Matthew, but I didn't, so you got off easy tonight. But it is Matthew, and Matthew is often known as Levi, the tax collector. That's the story that we are more familiar with than to call him Matthew, but to call him Levi. Matthew was written primarily to Jewish Christians. The audience that he was specifically focusing on was Jewish Christians. And that's why there's this intensive effort. You're going to see this as we go through the gospel, an intensive effort by him to tie the old prophecy testimonies or prophecies about Jesus, about the Messiah, and with the reality of who Jesus is, that Jesus is the fulfillment of what God spoke about a long time ago. The primary theme of this gospel is the establishment of the kingdom of God in the world with Jesus as the eternal king. Already we've heard that tonight, haven't we, in the reading, talking about the kingdom of heaven. We know that this is significant to Matthew because the words kingdom of God, they appear more than 30 times in this gospel. So Matthew's making a really big point about it. And then as he does that, then he elevates Jesus in his kingly role as the king of the kingdom of God. Another interesting thing about this is that it follows very closely to the Gospel of Mark. Here's a little education for you. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, these three Gospels are called synoptic Gospels because they are very, very much alike with each other. And then John's Gospel is just totally off going in another direction. But it's widely believed and held that the person who dictated the Gospel of Mark, which is the shortest one, was Peter. And then it was Mark who recorded what Peter had to say. And then later, Matthew and Luke came along, and they put meat to the bone, so to speak. They expanded it. So out of the 600 verses that are in the Gospel of Mark, 661 verses, 600 of them are listed in the Gospel of Matthew. But they're expanded so that we can understand more fully about who Jesus is. And thank God for that. So that sort of provides a little framework for what's going to be taking place in the next few months. But let's go on now to this evening's reading. This evening, it is a time of transitioning for Jesus. He's going into what the scholars consider to be the second phase of Jesus's ministry, which is called the Great Galilean Ministry. We know that Jesus spent 30 years in the little town of Nazareth with Mary and Joseph growing up and working in the carpenter shop in the little town of Nazareth. But now that he's been baptized by John, this is what we've been looking at for the last week or so, baptized by John, he's been tempted, he's been forced out into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. And what really triggers tonight's events is that Jesus hears that John the Baptist has now been incarcerated in prison. So in one sense, John's ministry is coming to a close, and so now it's time for Jesus to ramp up his ministry. So when he hears that John had been thrown in prison, he goes home to his mom, and he says, well, it's time for me to go. My new place of residence is going to be taken up in Capernaum, and that would become his home base for quite a while. We have sometimes people call him Jesus of Nazareth, and sometimes they call him Jesus of Galilee. You've heard that. Well, that's why, because this now was his home base. Capernaum is an interesting place because it is located, as we heard in the first reading and the gospel, it is located in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali. Now, this will be important in a minute, and you'll see why Jesus chose to live in Capernaum. It's a fantastic thing. So as Mark records in the reading that Deacon Steve just gave, it says, from that time on. So Jesus is making the transition into the Galilean ministry. From that time on, he is entering into this next phase of his life and ministry to the people. So let us now look at two wonderful insights as Jesus launches the great Galilean ministry. And I'll be honest with you, every time I think about it, every time I reflect upon it, it's really hard to contain myself from bursting into a song of praise. I might do that someday, I don't know. But I really get excited when I think about the greatness and the goodness of God. Just how wonderful God is, and everything has a sense of calculation, a step, an intent, a purpose to it when Jesus is fulfilling the will of God for his life. The first thing of the two is that Jesus first brings the good news of the kingdom of God to people who are oppressed. The first place he goes to start his ministry is with people who are down and out. He doesn't go to those who are on High Street or those who are doing real well, but he goes to the oppressed. And this is where Zebulun and Naphtali come into play, because these two areas in which Capernaum was located, they were considered to be troubled regions. They were troubled areas. It was not one of the 10 best places to live, you know, is that kind of thing. It's like saying, well, hey, I want to go live where there's a whole lot of terror and things like that are going on in the country. I want to do that. Well, that's what Jesus, he picked that, and he picked it for a specific reason. And he said that over time, the people, and he's quoting the prophet Isaiah, the people were not walking in darkness, but it says they sat in darkness. Now, there is a difference between that, because when you're walking, you're looking. You're trying to find a way out. You're trying to. But when you sit down, it's like I've given up. It's sort of a state of what you might call despair and gloom, giving up on life. And that pretty well described the people who lived in this land, because the residents believed, hey, we're never going to recover from this. What had happened, the Assyrians had come in and taken them over, and they were no longer part of Israel, but they were now part of the Assyrian Empire. And they believed that because of that, they were now second-class citizens when it came to being a part of Israel. And it was something also that they considered, that this land now is good for nothing. It's good for nothing. In the Jewish day, and when Jesus was walking on the earth, places had significance. There was significance to this place or that place. And then some were non-significant, like Bethlehem. But that's where Jesus was born, you know. Bethlehem was a little out of the way, no kind of significant place, the teachers of the law said. But guess what? That's where Jesus was born. And the same thing takes place here, see. God is here. God is up to something. And so the first place that he takes his ministry is to those who are in despair. Let me ask you a question tonight. Do you ever feel so lost in the gloom and despair of life, so at the bottom that you want to think to that you think that you will give up laughter and that you will give up Mary and that it's just not possible for those things to come from your heart? Once again, you ever feel that way? Well, if you do, You need to listen to what the prophet Isaiah said and then what Jesus said in Matthew. Listen to these beautiful words. He says, the people who sit in darkness, there's that sitting, they have seen a great light. They've seen a great light. So what does light do? Well, if I asked Larry to turn the lights off right now, it'd get really dark in here, wouldn't it? It'd be hard to see, wouldn't it, if you need to get out? Well, that's what light does. The light gives us a sense of direction and focus in what it is we're trying to do. And that's exactly what we hear in the reading tonight. The people have seen a great light. Jesus has chosen to come and live with those who sit in darkness and to encourage them and support them into living a life that is brimming with fullness of life. They, the people of Capernaum, they will be first. They won't be last. They will be first. And what a wonderful thought that is, especially when I think of this. I am a human, and I have made many mistakes in my life, and how comforting it is to me, how profound it is to me when I think about Jesus and what he did, to know that it is the poor. You know, there's many kinds of poverty out there. There's more than just material poverty. There's all kinds of poverty, but it is the poor like myself who receive preferential treatment from the Lord. Sinners, you might call it. They receive preferential treatment from the Lord. Always remember this, that Jesus loves you and you mean the world to him. He chose to come and live among you in the first place. The second thing is that Jesus invites us to a radical new way of living. This really gets my appetite up too. See, anytime, and we'll see this, anytime that Jesus was teaching in Capernaum, there were large crowds always assembled together. Sometimes it even says that there were so many and they were pushing so hard that they almost crushed Jesus. That's how intense it was. Now, Capernaum was strategically located, that's for sure. Right beside the city was what was called a Roman superhighway. Now, they didn't have cars, but they had feet and they had horses and things like that. And so this road called the Via Maris, people would use it to get from one place to the next. It was a very, very popular way to get from one place to the next, to go from Galilee to Syria and back, and to go into what would now be known as Europe. It's a big place. And it says that when Jesus began to teach, people came from everywhere. And it's even mentions them. We have Matthew mentions Galilee, the Decapolis, meaning the 10 cities, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region that is beyond the Jordan. When I think about that, you know, when you hear God's word, doesn't it just fill you with life? Doesn't God's word refresh you, encourage you, inspire you? Well, think about hearing it straight from the mouth of Jesus. You know, it was easy. It was strategically located for him, for people to stop by and listen to what he had to say. But if you were looking for something in life, more to life than what life offers you now, I know I would be willing to climb the highest mountain to get to where Jesus was, or I would be willing to cross the raging river in order to get Jesus was, because Jesus gives us life. He fills us with life. His heart, his words were so refreshing. And when his words were spoken, hearts were renewed, they were encouraged, they were given hope. And that's the message of Jesus. And what is that message in a nutshell? Well, we hear it right at the end of the gospel reading. It is, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, this is interesting. This is the message of John. So John's message is that. Then Jesus, after John is incarcerated, begins to proclaim this message. And then this is the message that Jesus will give to his disciples when he tells them to go out and proclaim the good news. So once again, we hear that theme of the kingdom of heaven. And he says, repent. So there's a message here for all of us tonight when we repent, meaning when we turn, metanoia, literally it means doing a 180, when we repent of our self-centered ways and we turn a 180, we go back into a new way of thinking, a dynamic way of living as the citizens of the kingdom of God. Did you know you're a citizen of the kingdom of God? Think about that. Think about that. How wonderful that is. Here's a great way to get a perspective on that. What it is that you're called to do. Let me ask you, ushering in, bringing in the kingdom of God as one of the citizens, what do you think? Let's just think about this for a second. What do you think this world that you know, that you hear about on the news tonight, what do you think this world would look like today if only the kingdom of God, life in the kingdom of God, was practiced? Well, what kind of life is that? It is a life of peace, a life of joy, a life of love, of purpose, gratitude, kindness, and compassion. It is that life. How do you think that would impact the landscape of the world we live in tonight? Would it be a different place? Well, absolutely, it would be a totally different place. And that's the kind of living that you and I are called to. It's this radical, I like to call it, a radical kind of living for the kingdom of God. I'd like to leave you with a couple of thoughts for reflection this evening. First of all, as we heard sung a while ago, the Lord is my light, there's that word, and my salvation. Whom shall I feel? Maybe you're here tonight and you feel like you're sitting in darkness and you can't see the light. Well, I've got good news for you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And the second thing is this: let the kingdom of God rule in your life. Let us bring, as we live out as citizens of this kingdom, let us bring out into our world things such as joy, peace, love, and kindness, and forgiveness, and see what a difference it makes. God bless all of you.